As we have shared in the beginning of today, today is a special service because it is a pivotal moment for the church and is just at the Red Sea, sort of, where we don't know where to go next, sort of, and we're not so sure of what's going to happen. And because of the Richmond Secondary School updates that we've gotten through the past week, the pastoral team thinks that this is important for us to let the church know about the future direction of the coming months of the church and how we're going to make this work. Let me update you on what the latest scenario is. This past week, we have been communicating with the VP of Richmond Secondary School, and we also have been communicating with the school board, and the VP has declined to rent out the two gyms, even though we have offered things that we believe will address his concerns with regards to wear and tear, with regards to the floor that he's concerned about. We have offered those, but he has declined to rent out the two gyms to us. And basically, the decision was made the second week of June. So all in all, we basically have around 2 weeks or 3 weeks to prepare for this change. In our conversations with the school board and with the VP, we have tried to arrange a meeting with the VP and with the school board, but he has simply declined to meet with us, and he said that there's no point of meeting with me. And the school board manager says there's no point of meeting with me because if the VP says no, then there's nothing he can do. So we tried to arrange a meeting with the school board people, the vice principal of the school, and just for some reason they have not been willing to meet with us. And so the council now, we're trying to meet with higher officials of the school board and see whether we can arrange something, whether we can communicate, and we just want to see, hey, how can we make this work? So right now we're at this stage where Richmond Secondary School, they have confirmed that they will not let us use the two gyms starting July, which is next week. Now, what does this mean? Because no other high schools are willing to offer a rental contract for us, we are sort of stuck here in this place. No gyms. We're going to be using the multi-purpose room. And what does this mean? That we have to stay here until the next school shows up, until the next available venue shows up. And since we don't have those, we only have the multi-purpose room and the classroom. This, as you know, is a big constraint. We have around 400 adults each week through in Cantonese and in English service combined together. How do we accommodate everyone in this place? And you know, this place only sits around 250 people. So starting July, which is next week, the staff team has worked out a schedule for us that we will have to conduct our services in two times at the same place, two times at the same place. The first service is going to happen at 9:45 to 11 a.m. And that first service is going to be our English service, 9:45 to 11 a.m. And at that first service time, there is also preschool and elementary for children program, and there is also youth program along with the English, just like now. And the second service will start at 11:30 to 12:45, around 30 minutes later than our normal start time. And that is going to be our Cantonese congregation, and it's going to be with toddler, preschool, elementary, and gold with the Karpos program. But there won't be any youths. Let me reiterate that one more time. The first service starting next week for English service is going to be moved to 9:45 to 11 a.m. 9:45 to 11 a.m. And we know this is far from ideal because for us, for the whole church actually, everybody has to go through some change. And until there's more permanent solution, we have to do with what we have. And for the whole reasoning behind this is because we need to split up the whole adult congregation that we have, around 400 people, to sit in here, which hopefully, ideally, we will split around 200 each. And we will ask the people in the Cantonese service, if they know how to understand, if they know how to speak, if they understand English, we'll ask them to join us here at 9:45 to 11 a.m. And for us here, the biggest adjustment is that our service, as opposed to 11, it's going to start at 9:45, which means that for some of us, we're going to have to wake up a little earlier, maybe sort of similar to school time, maybe, or even similar to work time. But I was just thinking about this the other day. There's actually a big plus side to starting the service at 9:45 a.m. because we're done at 11. We're done at 11. So that means that when you're done the English service at 11, you can go out and have brunch, you can go to brunch buffet, and you can yamcha, and you can go dim sum, and you can go all that stuff that you normally do, and then you're done, and then you come back to Richmond Secondary School, and you look at those Cantonese service people. Hey, they're still singing the response song. And then you can go home, and you can take a nap, and you can come back, and then you will start your normal Sunday schedule at approximately 2 p.m. So there's a plus side to us shifting our services to 9:45 because we end at 11. So you have a lot more time on your Sunday, which is your off day, which you can do whatever you want because you have more time. But jokes aside, we know the earlier time is an adjustment for the church, and it's also an adjustment for the Cantonese service. And our prayer is that we will have the commitment and the unity to go through this time, this Red Sea time together. The staff team is working as hard as we can to prepare for this change. We want to let you know. Throughout that past week, I feel like I have gone through 4 Sundays already. From the past Sunday to now, I feel like, oh, it's like a month already? Like, where have I been? Because we have been doing so much stuff. We've been preparing so much and working as hard as we can. We also had an emergency meeting on Friday with the ministry leaders, and we tried to let them know of the changes coming ahead. And they themselves, they talked among themselves, and they met with themselves so that they can prepare for the changes in terms of the serving and the servants as well. So if you're a servant, I want to let you know that you can expect some changes happening in a few weeks. Now, I want to let you know that this is not the permanent solution, and it's for now, it's a short-term fix for us. Staff team and the leadership team, we're always trying to improve on whatever we're going to do next week. So if you're a servant, you may be asked to serve at a different time schedule, or you may be asked to serve for a longer period of time for the time being. Take, for example, maybe some of the setup teams, maybe you have to come in a little earlier and maybe you have to leave a little later. And we know this is inconvenient, or we know this is extra effort, and we really appreciate it up front here of the effort and the commitment that we're all going to put in to go through this time together. If you are a parent of a youth or children, please explain to them what's going on with the church and ask them to pray for us as well. This is an emergency situation, and we need to ask everyone to give extra effort and extra commitment to make this work. I'll let you know that if you need the updates, you can always, if you're in the ICOS, you can receive updates in WhatsApp group. And if you're not in the ICOS, you should join one. But if you're not in the ICOS, you should, you can go to mykec.ca to receive our updates. At the end of today, we will have some notice, sheets of paper to sort of outline what I've basically talked about, specifically about the time. So you can reference that for next week, coming July. And if you know somebody who's not here today, please pass on the message to them so that they will know as well. The attitude for us, how do we face this thing, you know? How do we face our upcoming changes? The pastoral team has thought about it, and we all agree that this is more like a spiritual battle. Spiritual battle, as in the enemy, the devil, the evil forces, which they are there, in case you don't know. In the spiritual battle, the evil and the enemy and Satan, they don't want us to worship. They don't want people to have faith in God. They don't want us to grow deeper in relationship with God. And so it seems like right now the enemy is just doing all he can to stop us from worshiping, to stop us from growing deeper in our relationship with God. So for now, in this battle, we need to be patient and we need to endure the hardship, and because we know that God will provide for us. And we know that even though the enemy seems to be winning now, that God's ultimately in control, that God is the ultimate victory. So my word to you, the pastoral team's word to you, is learn to go through this time without grumbling, because that's what killed the Israelites back then in the wilderness. Don't grumble. Try not to argue. Try not to complain. Go in with a heart of patience and endurance, and we'll go through this time together. One of the best ways that we need to fight this spiritual battle is by prayer. So we definitely need the prayer from everyone in this church. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself, for the patience and endurance to go through this time together. Please pray for the church council as well, because they're the main people to negotiate and to communicate with the school board. And pray for the VP to receive those communications from us, so that, and pray for them to have a willing heart, especially those of the other schools, to let us use their place. And please pray for the staff team and the ministry teams who are doing all we can to prepare for us at this time. And please pray for our finances. Just one word here. Right now we're at 70,000 deficit. We have gone through more before. We have gone through bigger deficit before. But I want to let you know, at this time, the more financial buffer we have, the more second option, third option, fourth backup plan, fifth backup plan, the more we can prepare. And if we're on a deficit, and for some reason the school decides to not let us use any of the places, then we're toast because we're already on a deficit. So what can we do in terms of exploring second or third or fourth option? So if you are a Christian, if you believe in this faith, and if you are serious about this faith, I want to encourage you to give and encourage you to take part in this Red Sea together. Take part in this crossing the Red Sea together. I want to take some time to pray. Let's pray together. God, we want to pray for this church. We want to pray for this church to have patience, endurance, and joy. Joy is not what one would expect in these situations, but we can have joy because we know the Lord is our strength. The Lord is our might. The Lord is our stronghold. So God, that's what we pray for. We also pray for unity in this church because the enemy wants to divide us. But God, our heart is to be unified. So God, we pray for those things for the church. We pray for the church council and the VP. God, we pray that you provide for us the next place. We pray that you will work in the VP's heart, especially those other schools, that they have a willing heart to lend us and to rent us the school. We pray for the church council, pray for Hanks, give them wisdom, give them communication skills, and give them patience, and give them faith and joy to go through this time together. We want to pray for the staff team and the ministry team and the servant team, because we have to work, prepare so much stuff in such a short time. We pray for extra wisdom and extra strength to go through this time together. And lastly, God, we pray that you provide for us as you always have in our finances. We know that you always provide for us. And we pray that this church will be committed together through this Red Sea together. And God, we lift up the whole church to you. This is your church. This is not our church. This church is yours. So God, we know that you will deliver us, and we know that you will provide for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want you to imagine yourself as an Israelite in Exodus, just like what we talked about in the beginning of the service today. You know, the Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians and by Pharaoh, and through Moses, God called the Israelites out of Egypt. And this church right now is basically at that moment. So I'm going to share with you some passages about the Exodus event. Exodus 13. When Pharaoh let the people go, God led the people around the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. And the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from the people. I want to let you know that God is with us. God's presence was in the pillar of fire and in the pillar of cloud. And God continues to be with the Israelites just as he is doing today. Exodus 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of these places by the sea. You shall encamp facing the Red Sea. And for Pharaoh will say to the people of Israel, 'They are wandering in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in.'" Verse 4, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." And the Israelites did so. When I read this again, this time, what I've missed before is, I've actually missed that it's God that brought the people to the Red Sea. It's not the Israelites wandered and they got lost in the Red Sea, and then they found their way by the Red Sea. Oh, what should we do? God told Moses specifically to bring the people back to the Red Sea and encamp facing it. And just wait. Like, I thought we're leaving Egypt. Why are we waiting here? It seems like God brought his people to the Red Sea. And I know this is true for today, that God has brought us to this place. And he knows that he would get glory over Egyptians and over Pharaoh and all those people. And so what do? When the king of Egypt, verse 5, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, and the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said, "What is this we have done, that we have let Israelites go from serving us?" And so he made ready his chariots and took his army with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with the officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh and the king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people were going out defiantly. And the Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook the Israelites encamped by the sea. Verse 10, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. This is where we are. What do we do? What do you do when you see this? And you're just sitting here, and this is the sea already. What do you do when you see this? What did the Israelites do? Verse 11, they said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die here in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Fear not, stand firm, and see. What is there to see? The soldiers? What is there to see? The Red Sea in front of us? What is there to see? Then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts and his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. At this time, when the Egyptians were just on the tail, God is still in control. God hardened their hearts to go in after them. God knows and God's in control of the situation. So what do we see? Then the angel of God, this is the pillar of fire, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and stood behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the hosts of Egypt and the hosts of Israel. And there was cloud and there was darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. God protects. God's with us, and he protects. 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left hand. Then the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptians and threw the Egyptians' forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And even the Egyptians know, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, now stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. So Moses did so, stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left hand. The chariots, the horsemen, the army, and the hosts of Pharaoh. What Pharaoh thought was his control, his power, his strength, his army, was nothing in sight of God. Just a little wind, all of them disappeared. I'm sure it's the same for us. Our situation, your situation, that insurmountable challenge is nothing inside of the Lord. He can do powerful things, and just a wind, he will deliver you. Verse 30, thus the Lord saved the Israelites from the day, that day from the hand of the Egyptians, And the Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And Israelites saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So they feared the Lord. They no longer feared the Egyptians. They feared now the Lord. And they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. This is where we are as a church. By the Red Sea, at the edge, chased down by the enemy. Nowhere to go. We don't know where to go. The Israelites were afraid and complained. Maybe you're in this situation too. But I want to let you know, this is also the edge of breakthrough. Just one step, a miracle happens. This is the edge of where God shows his power and his deliverance. So we know that it's difficult. We know that it's inconvenient. We know that there's worry and maybe there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of unknown. But I want to tell you this. If there's no difficulty, there's no deliverance. If there's no inconvenience, there's not going to be breakthrough. If there's no trials, there's no achievements. And if there's no hardship, there's no rewards. If you don't have disappointments, there won't be encouragement. And if we're not desperate, there won't be any intervention. And if there's no weakness in us, there's no power from him. If there's no sickness in us, there's no healing from him. If there's no enemy, there's no victory. And if there's no death, there's no resurrection. So what man thinks to be the end is only the start of God's miracle. And I personally can't wait to see this miracle. I can't wait to see how God will bring us through the sea. In fact, I want to be the first one that steps into the sea when it splits open, and because I know it will. I want to be the first one that goes through on the other side and sing a song to God. What about you? If God was to do a miracle today, I want to be the first one to go through it. I hope you are too. After that, the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, and immediately they sang a song to praise God and worshiped him and danced and with songs and with music to praise him. And the first line of the song goes like this. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his riders he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. This is my God, and I will praise him. For now, we're not through the Red Sea yet. We're just by the Red Sea. But that doesn't mean we can't praise him already. In fact, it's precisely because we haven't crossed it that we must praise him. Praise and worship has spiritual power, I want to let you know. Praise and worship has spiritual power in that spiritual battle. Proclaiming God's goodness and his faithfulness has spiritual power in it. It helps us fight the spiritual battle. It strengthens our faith, and it calls on God to help us and to deliver us. So we'll praise before we see the breakthrough. We praise before our difficulty is gone. We praise before our hardship is gone. We praise before our enemy is gone. We praise before there's deliverance. We praise before there's a change. We praise before there's a miracle. And we praise before we know where we want to go next. We praise because God delivers. And we praise because God deserves it. So even though we haven't seen what God will do, we'll still praise him because we know that he's going to do it. We give thanks for something God hasn't done yet. But we know what he will do. So we're giving thanks in advance. And we worship for something that God hasn't yet done. But we know he will do. Will you please stand? Today we introduce to you a new song. This new song simply says the same thing. That we will raise a hallelujah, praise the Lord in the middle, in the presence of the enemy. Because this engages us into the spiritual battle, and we know that God will help us. And we know that God will deliver us. So let's sing this together. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy.
I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. reality. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Out from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah.
With everything inside of me.
With everything inside of me.
I raise a
benediction, the blessing from God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Please have a seat.